Welcome to Voices from the Streets from the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. You'll learn how our dedicated staff and volunteers use the transforming work of God's Word to change the lives of the homeless and addicted. You'll hear the unpolished stories of the homeless and broken and the hope that brought them to freedom and a new future in Christ. Now, here's Executive Director Pastor Robert Briggs of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission.
It's great to be with you again this afternoon as we enjoy another edition of Voices from the Streets. We're thankful that we can gather on our program to let you know a little bit more about what we're doing at the Union Gospel Mission. It's a busy season right now at the mission as we're moving towards Thanksgiving and Christmas. And it's a joy for me to have one of our staff members, and you may recognize her voice the moment she speaks if you're used to calling into the mission. Francie Haynes is with me. Francie, thanks for being here today.
You're welcome. I'm great. Glad to be here.
Wonderful. Well, Francie is our receptionist at the mission. At least that's one of her tasks. She is a lady who wears many hats for us in many ways. But when it comes to the actual reception, she's the one that will be usually answering the telephones, usually fielding your questions to someone on the campus, and she's certainly the lady that you'll meet most likely if you come in through the main door into our actual administrative building. And so what we're doing over these little episodes that we're having, we're trying to make sure that all of you who are our partners or who are thinking about partnering with us in this great work of the gospel in Sacramento get to know our staff. And one of the things that's been a real joy for me this year is that we've grown our female staff on our campus, and we have a real strong cohort of ladies who are wholeheartedly committed to the Lord Jesus and wholeheartedly committed to the work of the gospel that we're doing at UGM. And I, as the executive director, have the privilege of leading them and encouraging them and serving with them. And so Francie has kindly agreed to come and join with us today. We're going to get an opportunity now to get to know Francie a little bit more in terms of her personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, her personal life, how she ended up coming to the mission, and then what she actually does at the mission, and just some of her perspectives on what she sees at the mission as she deals with many aspects of our mission life. And so, Francie, tell us a little bit about, you know, where were you born, where you grew up. Are you a native Sacramentan?
Yep, been here my whole life. I grew up in Fair Oaks. I was born in Folsom. Been in Sacramento. I was in a house from the time I was 2 till the time I was 18, the same house in Fair Oaks. Before I moved, and then I've just been here.
Okay, so you're a native Sacramento, which is wonderful. I think that's a great thing. And you know, as an incomer, which I obviously am with my Scottish accent, I'm always thankful for those who've been in Sacramento all their days and are still serving the Lord in Sacramento. Tell us a little bit then about your early years. I mean, what high school did you go to, Francie?
I actually went to a Jehovah's Witness school.
Okay.
Because I was brought up Jehovah's Witness until I was 15. And then my parents left the organization. They were in trouble for reading the Bible without the
Watchtower Society.
Watchtower. Yeah. And then they were disfellowshipped. And so I was still going to the witness school at that time, and I ended up leaving a couple years later.
Okay.
And then I went to independent study after that.
Okay.
And just recently, I actually graduated high school.
You did? Yeah. I remember we chatted about that. It's amazing. So I never even knew there was such a thing as a Jehovah's Witness school that you could go to. So was that in Sacramento here?
It was. I don't think they have one now. They might, but I don't think they have one anymore.
Okay. Very interesting. I do have the Jehovah's Witnesses knock on my door from time to time. And we love to have a chat about who Jesus truly is. And that's always an interesting conversation for sure. So you that was your background. So you were exposed to the Word of God from your childhood, but obviously through the lens of the Watchtower Society, which, as we know, they teach a false doctrine of Christ. And so tell me a little bit then, Francie, what happened after your kind of high school years? Where did you go? Did you go to college? Did you get a job? Or what did you decide to do at that point?
Well, my parents were very lack on education because they were brought up thinking, you know, the end of the world was going to be any time. So I didn't have to go to college because, you know, and even after they left, they were unsure of those facts. And I got into drugs. I got into the occult, and I was a very rebellious teenager, really without a cause.
Right. Right.
But thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I got through that, and I found Jesus when I was 27. I was married. I was newly married, probably about 3 years. And my husband agreed to go with me. And he did for a while, but then, you know, fell off.
Right, right.
And then I was divorced after 5 years.
Okay. So tell us a little bit then about how you were exposed to the gospel. You say you found Jesus. Was that through going to a local church in Sacramento or...
Yeah, there was a church in Folsom, I believe it was Folsom, that my mom belonged to. She belonged to the Women of Glow, which was a women's kind of like the Red Hat kind of thing.
Okay,
but
okay.
Yeah, fine. They were just wonderful, wonderful God, Jesus-loving women,
right,
on fire for him, and that's how I found Jesus.
So you were exposed to the gospel in your late 20s, mm-hmm, to a season, unfortunate season of, you know, I'm sure it was heartbreak and pain. Divorce and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You come to the Lord. Tell us a little bit more about that then. Did you become part of that community, or did you find another community of saints to join, or how did that all play itself out in your life, Francie?
There was a church. I don't believe it exists anymore. It was called East Valley.
Okay.
And it was a church. That's where I was baptized. And I really appreciated the church. You know, God was talking to me from the pulpit every time I went. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my life changed that way. So I, you know, and that was the church that I went to.
Okay. Now, where was that located, Francie?
It was off of Hazel Avenue near Orangevale, in Orangevale.
Okay, so in Orangevale.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So what were you doing in terms of work at that time? What were you?
I actually started to raise my children, and I had them. And then after my divorce, there was a couple who started a business, a couple gentlemen who started a business. And they asked me if I wanted to work with them, so I did inventory for them from the opening time, and I did for 6 years. Okay. And that's where I met my second husband.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. So you're obviously in your 30s at this point, and mm-hmm, you're in a context of faith, and you're growing in the Lord. What were you kind of involved in terms of just your church life? Were you straight just a faithful person who was attending church, supporting the church, serving in whatever way you could, whatever way opportunities arose?
Yeah, I helped with the children. We helped with, they had plays for the kids.
Okay.
We did that. I was part of the choir.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Excellent. Yeah, I like to sing. That's good. It's a good thing to sing. We've got plenty to sing about as the Lord's people, and that's a good thing.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So how long were you, that's obviously, you said the church, that church is no longer there, so you obviously moved on to a different context. Tell us a little bit how that unfolded.
Well, from there, I kind of backslid.
Okay.
I worked and worked a whole lot. It was many hours, so I wasn't able to go to church. I still have always had faith in God and Jesus, but my thoughts slid to more of like a worldly,
right,
you know, because I wasn't reading my Bible. I was working, and, you know, that's what my mind was on. And I had just met a new man, but he was working with me too.
Right.
And then I was married.
Right.
Like within a year of starting work.
Okay. Okay. So at what point would you say then in the light of, you know, reflecting, and we all do this as we get older, reflecting on our spiritual walk with the Lord, what would you say were the factors that you began to recover your faith and move from being backslidden to more committed again?
Well, I went through a really hard time because I lost my husband after 8 years of marriage. He died of a heart attack on the bike trail. He was a healthy man, and it was a surprise. And I was already not well. I was feeling, I had my fibromyalgia, which I believe God healed me of because I no longer have it.
Right.
And that's not supposed to be the case. So, but I had a lot of illness, and when he passed, I just snowballed into complete illness, and I've been on disability. I was on disability for 6-7 years.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think obviously you lose a close relative, especially a spouse. I think it happens particularly that that will have both spiritual and physiological impact on our lives, and certainly can, as we know from the mission, even spiral you into even worse situations than just the physicality aspect. Yeah. So you're struggling with your health for 6-7 years. I'm sure things were very difficult.
It was probably more than 6 or 7 years. I don't recall it well.
It's a blur now.
Yeah, it's kind of like, France, where did it come from and where did it go?
Yeah. So what happened then in terms of you coming back into the context of the church and the gospel?
Well, God started to heal my body. I feel like he guided me into, like, it was after 2020. Right. 2020 came around, and
2020.
I know, I was with ladies. I lived with four other women, and we were kind of stuck there because of, you know, couldn't leave the house. I couldn't go to church. My church wasn't, you know, couldn't go to church. And then I'm like, you know, I need to go back to church. And this was after probably 2021. And I went to a church and I prayed about it. And I felt like God was sending me to this church down the street. So I went to this church down the street, and it ended up being primarily Russian, which, you know, was fine, except for it was interpreted. So I had to deal with interpretation, and I couldn't communicate a lot with the people that were there, but I felt like he brought me there. And like the first day I went, I was like, I really want somewhere. I felt like God wanted me to volunteer somewhere, do something. So I asked them, and they said, well, you can do with the children ministry. That's all we have here. But we have somebody, his name was Alex. And they said, he goes to the mission on the third Thursday of the month. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'll do that. So I talked to him, and he told me about it. I never ended up going with him. He said it was with his old church that he goes. So I went with his old church several times, but he never showed up for any of them. And then there was one day that none of the church that I went with, that I was signed up with, showed up, but I showed up. And I saw Bobby. I talked to Bobby, and he's like, you know, this happens sometimes. We'll get the guys together. They'll give their testimony. And he's like, you can go home. And I'm like, I'm already here. I go, can I just help? So I helped. I prayed with people, and then I helped serve. I helped the church that came to serve dinner. And Bobby's like, you need to come here more often. And he gave me Kim Souza's phone number and said, there's a women's clothes closet. And so I started volunteering there.
Wow, that's quite a remarkable story. I've never heard that part of your testimony, Francis. So basically, you end up in a church that speaks a different language.
Mm-hmm.
You have, you know, you're right, they are interpreters. I call them interrupters. I've preached in Germany and in the Dominican Republic with what I call the interrupter. And it is hard. It's mm-hmm. hard to preach with it, but it's even harder, I would imagine, to listen. And then even get as much out of it. So you end up in that context. You end up then through the connection, coming to the mission indirectly, even though the chap that introduced you to it never ever came. And then
that's funny.
And then even more funny, you end up standing alone on a particular evening and realize that, okay, I'm here, I want to serve. And as a result of that, you end up connecting to us at UGM.
Yeah,
it's quite a remarkable prominence when you think of how the Lord used all of that to bring you to where you are now as part mm-hmm. of our staff.
Yeah.
Interesting. So tell us a little bit. So tell us a little bit about your present church life.
I go to Calvary Solid Ground.
Okay.
In fact, our pastor actually went through the mission program years ago, and he is now a pastor.
Okay. And who's that?
His name is, I'm sorry, Jed.
Oh, Jed
Delaney.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, Jed Delaney's your pastor, right?
Yes.
Yeah, of course, right. So where is the church that you gather in? Where is the church?
It's in Fair Oaks. It's actually another church.
You're back in your
home. We share. Yeah, back in Fair Oaks. Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
It is funny.
That is funny.
Full circle,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, full circle. It's a strange thing how that can happen in
it
life.
Can.
Sure, yeah. So you basically then start serving at the mission. Your heart is obviously moved. You contact Kim, who is our women's coordinator, of course. Mm-hmm. Is that where you began then to get more of a connection, was through volunteering with the women?
Well, before I went to that church, I went to East. I think I said it
East
was
Valley.
East Valley
yeah.
that I went to before, but that was North Valley.
Right, okay.
So East Valley is the one that actually exists in Orangevale.
Okay.
And that's where I went to church for several years.
Right.
And that's when I quit going to that church because of 2020.
Right.
And
right.
then, so it was North Valley and then East Valley. So I was part of East Valley for many years. I volunteered there a lot, working with, you know, I volunteered in a lot of things.
Right.
Yeah. And so I was going there. And what happened there is I went to a conference. And I remember God had been urging me to go out and do things that I wasn't comfortable with, because I am not a person who could be on a radio station. Just letting you know.
Well, you're doing okay.
That wasn't something that I could have done. It was, I had fear of everything, fear of people, fear of telephones, believe it or not. Time the phone rang, I would just cringe. And I'd be like, I don't know what my brain was going through. But I just couldn't handle even answering the phone.
You're like an air traffic controller, because you feel that phone call over there and that one over there. And I've heard you on the telephone dealing with the many different and unpredictable calls that we get at the mission. So the Lord has definitely done some wonderful things in your heart.
He's taken me out of my comfort zone.
Yeah. Wonderful. So you're part of Jed's church. You come to the mission. You start volunteering. You've clearly got a heart for the mission. Mm-hmm. The opportunity comes up to get a job with us, come on our staff, basically, which you did. When did you become a full-time member of the staff, Francie?
That was last year. Not last year. I've been here a year. So it was the year before.
Right.
In June.
Right.
July.
4. Yeah. Wonderful. So you're basically come on staff. You're our receptionist, which in many ways you're at the very heart of the whole thing, because you field so many things. But I know you do a lot more than that, because I see you every day.
Yeah.
If you're not answering the phones, you're putting hygiene packs together. If you're not doing hygiene packs, you're fixing clothes for children. If you're not doing that, you're fixing, helping with the food distribution. You're over at the women's closet. I mean, tell our listeners a little bit. I mean, it's a multifaceted work.
Yeah.
And not, you know, all of us have maybe a position, but we also have other things we just get involved in as and when they're needed. Tell our listeners a little bit about how you view the mission and what we try to do.
Well, ever since I started, even in the clothes closet helping ladies, my very favorite thing has been to pray with people. And so I know that's a lot of things that are needed. So watching the men in the program, I mean, I'm there right in front where they come in every day to hear about Jesus. They have class twice a day during the week. And it's just amazing when you see a man who comes in and they are hard. You can see it. And there's, at one point, I've seen several of the men just change, like right in front of my eyes, from being a hard, I don't know what I'm doing, where I'm going, how it's happening, and then a complete 180. And that person comes in, they're smiling, they're kind, they have a whole different, you know, demeanor to them. And it just, I know it's Jesus. So that's a miracle to see, like, and I get to see it quite often.
Right. You have in many ways, you could argue you've got a front row seat.
I do have a front row seat, yes.
Yeah, because it's very interesting to hear your perspective on that, because it's true. They have to pass you to get to the classroom, and then they have to pass you to get back to their dorm. Mm-hmm. And so you literally are looking at them every single day when they pass.
Yep. And I'm able to encourage them.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And, you know, every once in a while, they don't know what to do. I've come across one or two not knowing what to do, and I even direct them the right way.
Yeah. No, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
You need to talk to this person.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that we underestimate what we actually are watching when a man comes off the street onto our campus. And to your point, he's simply looking for relief perhaps from his suffering on the street, but also not aware at that stage what his greatest need is, which of course is the Lord Jesus and his conversion to Christ. And you're able to sit there and see those hardened souls come in initially, and even, you know, in some ways, and I know this from the chaplains, disinterested souls at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But as they start to hear about God, and as they start to hear about sin, and as they start to hear about Christ, and as they start to hear about the hope of the gospel, and as we start to see the work of the Spirit, we start to see the transformation of the life.
Yeah.
And you get to see even the change in the countenance. The change in the countenance is, you know, in itself, it's indicative of the fact that there's something going on in the heart.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that it's interesting to hear your perspective on that, Francis, because I know, you know, exactly where you're sitting. You see them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the women's ministry, which I know you have a big heart for,
yes,
and you're heavily involved in that, where you can be, I mean, what would you say is, you know, when you see the women, you meet the women, what would you say some of the greatest challenges are for us when it comes to the ministry of the women?
Well, I feel like that the devil has a handle on the drugs.
Right.
The drugs in the women, they can't grasp what's right and true when their brain is not in the right place.
Right.
So that, I think, is the biggest challenge that we have, mm-hmm, is distraction through evil.
Right, right. Exactly, exactly. I think that's an interesting perception, and I think you're right. I think one of the biggest challenges is the fact, well, if someone is not compos mentis to listen to what we're telling them regarding, mm-hmm, the gospel, they're going to stay in their state of, you know, lostness, confusion, and in many ways, their path is going to continue to go in the wrong direction, the destruction. Would you say, when it comes to some of these women, there are women, however, who, you know, let's say, for example, we had a shelter for them that we could get them into and have a program. You think there would be benefit in that?
That would be very beneficial. There's so many people on the phone calling and asking. You know, I have hospitals and mental institutions calling, saying we need a place for these women. And I have to tell them right now, we don't have it. We just, the funds are not there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And so that brings us to the point I wanted to kind of wind us up on today, is the fact that, you know, as we work with the women on the streets of Sacramento, and we see the abuse, and we see all manner of horrible things happening to the women, and we see the drug addiction
and the need,
and the need is just, it's off the charts.
That's,
we recognize that, you know, and we could only do so much, but one of the greatest benefits that there could be would be having a residential context for these women,
absolutely,
a place for them to actually be safer. You know, they're safe when they're on our campus, but at night they're back out on the streets, and we know the streets of Sacramento are not safe. They're,
yeah,
seriously dangerous. Even in our time, in my 10 months and your 18 months, we've seen quite a number of deaths.
Yeah, we have.
Women on the streets being, you know, murdered and certainly abused and dying on the streets. And so that's something that we're going to be thinking about as we move forward. You mentioned, of course, prayer, which we must be praying to the Lord for.
Absolutely.
And I think that's our biggest burden, that we pray for the Lord to raise up the funds for us to be able to develop the women's ministry on the streets.
Yes.
Or at the mission.
In prayer.
Obviously,
in prayer.
A different campus, perhaps, but and different staff, but that's what we've got to do. So, yeah, as you're listening to our broadcast here at Voices from the Streets, I've been talking with one of my staff members, Francie Haynes. It's been a joy, Francie. And as we think about the women on the streets of Sacramento particularly, please be praying for them. The Union Gospel Mission, it is our goal to reach the least, the last, and the lost. You can contact us at ugmsac.com, and you can find out more by calling us up. And it's a chance that you'll even be talking with Francie, as she's the one that's most likely going to answer the telephone. So thank you for listening. I'm Pastor Robert Briggs, and may the Lord bless you and keep you until the next time.
You've been listening to Voices from the Streets from the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission with Pastor Robert Briggs. We hope you've been moved by how God is in all they do for the homeless, addicted, and those struggling in our communities. They're honored to serve with daily meals, food boxes, clothing, and shoes, a 10-month recovery program for men, the New Life Ministry for women and children, safe shelter at night, mailboxes, chapel services, hygiene products, and showers. To learn more, donate either goods or financially, volunteer, or take a tour, visit ugmsac.com.